Bonnie, this is Winona LaDuke, and I want to say that I miss you. I have missed you. I miss the butterflies for sure. My yard has milkweed in it, and there were no pods. I'm not sure why, but I saw very few butterflies. Monarchs are particularly affected by Monsanto's BT corn and everything that is associated with it. But it's more than that. It's all of you. Little bugs, big bugs, mosquitoes, windshields full of bugs, no longer swarms all around. You're not there. I canoed, I rode horse through the North Country, and I missed you. The Ace Hardware, Menards, Fleet, every store is full of ways to kill bugs. They smell bad when you go in there. And I've been pretty successful as far as I can see. You've all been successful. Congratulations to all of you. I, however, am pretty concerned. Now, of course, the bee die-off has been pretty well documented. As colonies collapse, the story of why is told and retold, attributed at one time to power lines, cell phones, and then finally to neonicotinoids, the powerful pesticides now banned throughout most of Europe. In short, this past year, 33% of the bee colonies died off, down, however, from previous years. From 2012 to 2013, nearly half of the U.S. colonies died. One of every three bites of food is directly or indirectly pollinated by honeybees, who pollinate about $15 billion worth of U.S. crops each year, not to mention life. They pollinate life. But the die-off is epidemic, it turns out. In the early 1990s, Iowa's prairies were home to 300 species of plants, another 300 species of birds, 10 species of mammals, and uncounted hundreds upon hundreds of insect species. Fast forward to the late summer of 2012, when the air should have been buzzing with bugs, and you'd find rather few. One survey of an Iowa cornfield turned up exactly six creatures we might call bugs. Not simply six species, six bugs. Two grasshoppers, an ant, a red mite, and a cobweb spider eating a crane fly. Otherwise, silence, nothing. I can attest to this as I farm in the middle of the industrial agriculture zone known as the Ponsford Prairie. The prairie is dominated by RDO Offutt and other farmers who overspray the fields. Some days I've worked in the fields to the sound of crop dusters on both sides of me, and some days we have been oversprayed. My field, the non-sprayed field, has insects in it. The rest do not. That's the norm nationally and internationally. A well-documented German study found out the last 27 years, the flying insect biomass measured in protected German nature reserves declined by an average of 76%, with an 82% drop during the midsummer season, when insect populations should be thriving. Another study found that Germany experienced a 15% drop in its bird populations over the last decade. Clearly, an insect collapse also affects the birds who feed on them. So here we are, the land of 10,000 lakes and hopefully a gazillion fish. What are the fish going to eat if all the insects are gone? And what about our pollinators? I was raised by an entomologist, a bug man. His name was Peter Westergaard, a Norwegian by genetics who worked on the insects of fruit trees. My father used to tell me there were about 800 million species of insects in the world and nothing could diminish the biomass of the insects. Now I wonder. So as we all go dormant for the winter, I pose the question that Rachel Carlson brought forth in her book, Will We Have a Silent Spring? Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring was an epic environmental manifesto that led to the ban on DDT and was an impetus for the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency. Published 55 years ago, the book documented the detrimental effects on the environment of the indiscriminate use of pesticides. Silent Spring was met with fierce opposition by chemical companies, but it spurred a reversal in national pesticide policy and led to a nationwide ban on DDT for agricultural uses. And it inspired an environmental movement that led to the creation of the US EPA. Now, to be sure, Scott Pruitt, the present head of the Environmental Protection Agency, has no idea about this book. So I'm going to do my part to bring back those pests, a short-sighted term that has been misapplied. I will grow organically. I will plant for bees, and I'm planning to begin as a beekeeper this year. After all, the bear clan should be secure with our honey. Neonicotinoids have been banned in Europe, and Maryland is the first U.S. state to ban them. The first ban on sales of products containing neonicotinoid class of pesticides will begin on January 1st, 2018 in Maryland. Connecticut will likely follow suit. Maryland lost 60% of its bees in 2016. Minnesota's Rick Hansen has held the first hearings on neonicotinoids in Minnesota, and we will hope for more. In the meantime, winter is coming. Please rest, my six-legged relatives. I hope to see you in the spring. I miss you.